Namaste. So we have been speaking about fate. Now, what we need to understand is that behind this material world and the material forces, there is a whole lot of forces that are active. They are, from the point of view of science, we speak about the psychological forces. Things like fear, anxiety, jealousies. Normally, the typical psychologists, they speak only about fear, anxiety and agitation, which can be counterproductive. But from the spiritual point of view, there are also forces of jealousy, forces of greed, of hate, of lust, of wanton ambition. So all these forces can, or even too much excitement, they are not good for us. So why they are not good? Because they disturb, they are forces of disorder and disintegration. Look at it this way. Love is a force of harmony. But what happens when jealousy comes in? Now, when jealousy comes in, this harmony begins to get disrupted. So these are forces of disruption and disharmony. Possessiveness comes in. What happens with ambition? Now, normally, we are all moving, working in our own way. As a result of which, some do a little better than others, or at least what we foolishly, in a worldly point of view, think about it. But nevertheless, everybody is moving, getting their due. But now if ambition comes in, so when ambition comes in, we start putting ourselves as if in competition with others. Instead of trying to excel in our own work, we begin to start competing with others. Now the result is again a disruption and an imbalance and a disharmony with our working atmosphere, with our colleagues, because we begin to become suspicious. We begin to feel threatened by everybody because we feel, oh, my position may be snatched. Somebody else is wanting to take our position. Even if nobody else is interested in that, still our mind begins to project itself onto others and begins to see others as threat. Even when there is no real threat, we begin to perceive this threat. We begin to see threat everywhere. I mean, it's a state of paranoia in which we... even for things like jealousies, anger again. So anger is, of course, we know a very disruptive force. And forces like jealousy and anger, they first destroy the person who harbors it. They are like, anger is like a fire which finishes the house which harbors it. And of course, it is destructive to the other person. Same with jealousy. Jealousy is like a poison that corrodes us from within. Outwardly, whatever may happen, but a person who is jealous begins to lose his happiness, lose his peace of mind. So from the yogic perspective, even these are very harmful forces, the Shatripus or the sixfold enemies, band of enemies of the soul. So if we allow to shelter them, they prevent us from actually getting peace or living in a state of harmony, serenity, joy, faith. Similarly, doubt. Doubt corrodes the mind. Doubt acts upon the mind just as depression does to the vital. So again, depression, despair, discouragement, they're all very harmful and inimical forces. This is a lower network of forces. And let's put it in a little figurative way. I mean, not as an absolute truth, but it has its own validity, that there is a network of forces which is spread out by Yama, the Yamapash, the force, the network of death, in which human beings can enjoy a little bit, but only within certain limits. And after a while, this noose of Yama start getting tightened around us, and we begin to lose our happiness through all these things, through fear, jealousies, false, and we begin to start telling lies, and then ambition and all these things slowly degenerate us, degrade us. So forces of disintegration are at play. But on the other hand, there is a higher nose, the law of truth, which is right behind that. So there is a higher network of forces whose names are peace, harmony, beatitude, love, faith. And all these forces, light, grace, and of course love, the highest force, grace and love, divine grace and love. On the other hand, we can activate these forces. So it is up to us whether we want to move. This is our choice. It's nothing to do with religion or any cult or any sect, whatever, even for a, we may not believe in any God, but at least this is the play of forces we must understand. So there is a lower network of forces in which all these things like lust, greed, All these things are there, lust, which where we want to possess. Now, lust, very often people interpret it as just the physical act of sexual act. But it's not just that. It's the act of possessing, dominating, controlling. That's where it comes in. And obviously, the act, physical act of sex can open, very often opens doors to all these other forces of inconscient with jealousies and all these things coming in. Whereas otherwise, two people can be very beautiful friends forever without all these darker and dangerous things coming into the play. So, nevertheless, we can make a choice either to remain tied to the lower network of forces. These are the forces of ignorance to which we are tied from our birth, atavism, because of our past evolution. Or, there is a possibility that we can start living and breathing a different atmosphere and start emerging into the forces of light, the forces of peace, the forces of a higher order. And as we begin to do that, initially there will be resistance from the lower forces. If we are living in the lower forces, there is no battle. There is only unhappiness whose cause we will never know, because we'll always blame it on outsiders. And we'll think that's what is natural, or we'll think this is my nature. But the moment we start the process of change or transition from the lower to the higher, initially there is the battle and the strain of the battle. Many people let go then. And when they let go, they fall back to the lower ways. But if we persevere, because people don't want this inner battle, they prefer outer battles. But if we persevere in the battle, especially if we call in the aid of grace and the divine love, then after a while we begin to emerge out of this lower play and enter into the higher network of forces. Then light begins to course into our brain. It begins to reconstitute our nerves and bodies. The truths of the Vedas, the Twastri, who is a god fashioning our nerves, reboots the artisans of immortality, who build immortality within us. The truth of the Sapta Sindhu, the seven rivers that begin to flow to us into our being as rivers of inspiration. Not only they inspire us into knowledge, but inspire our hearts into joy and love and sweetness. All this begins to become true. And this was the yoga of the rishis, that they wanted, in their search for immortality, wanted man to be free from the network of death and emerge into the consciousness of immortality. So if we persist and persevere, depending on the backlog and the load we have, it may take longer or shorter time, but eventually a time comes when we can swim rather than drown into the world current. Not only swim, after a while we can actually fly, we can leave this lower network below us and enter into the higher atmosphere. Of course, some people, for the sake of work, may descend back into the lower creation, into this network of forces, but then they are shielded and protected, even if their outer being may sometimes get soiled because they are back into this dungeon, yet their inner being is kept free and pure and unsullied. This is a choice we can make: either lead a life which is of one order, or lead a life which is of a higher order, which is moving towards a life divine. Either the life where the human in us is a slave to the animal, or a life where the human in us is being transmuted into a divine humanity of the future. Namaste.